We didn't have a missal today, so if you would turn in your liturgy books to page 114 and concentrate on the epistle reading today and moving forward, such as it is. So this reading is by St. Paul, and it is an epistle, a letter that he wrote to Timothy. All we really need to know is that the context, other context really is not relevant to what we're going to discuss today. So the themes in this reading are God's forbearance and long-suffering, his mercy and his salvation. You can tell from what it says, okay? And the benefits of belief in Christ and the gift of eternal life. And there's also a lot of theology and worship and how they are intertwined, okay? So the liturgical reference here, if you notice, do you remember the pre-communion prayer that we'll say in a few minutes? It says, I believe and confess, Lord, that you are truly the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. Do you see those words in that epistle reading? Okay, so in the Greek original prayer, the writer of the prayer literally lifted the words, the exact same words from this epistle reading and put them there. So that there, in at least in the Greek, you know, there's a direct connection between what you hear in the epistle, whenever you hear it or read it at home, and what you hear in church. And it kind of makes you feel confident that our church and the Bible are one and the same thing. I mean, you know, we are the church of the Bible. We say the Bible, we sing the Bible, we read the Bible, you know, we memorize the Bible. Unfortunately, the translator of the prayer, someone in the archdiocese 30 years ago, didn't pay attention to how the reading was going to be read, and they didn't use the exact same words. So you'll see that while in the epistle reading it says, I am the foremost of sinners, here in the prayer, it says, the sinners of whom I am first. There's an older version of the prayer who says, I am the chief of sinners, chief. And if you look at some older versions of the Bible or the New King James Version, which is the Orthodox Study Bible, instead of foremost sinners in the Bible reading, it'll say chief sinners. So there is the connection there. But all the other words are there, so I think you can make the connection, and I am connecting the dots for you today. There is a translation issue where it says that Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience. Actually, the Greek word says pasan, tin pasan makrothymian, which literally means all his patience, all his complete and consummate long-suffering and forbearance, okay? I mean, I guess you can get the same thing, but it says all, and that great, which means great and enormous patience. He waited for Paul, even though Paul was... Paul wasn't a sinner in the sense of he wasn't immoral, okay? He was a very upright, you know, Pharisee. But when Paul is saying his sins, he's talking about the fact that he didn't believe in Christ in the, you know, first days. He actually persecuted the church. He actually sent, you know, had Stephen killed. But God, Christ overlooked Paul's sins and called him to be an apostle. And not only that, but he counted him worthy of the great gifts of going into the seventh heaven or third heaven, whatever it was, and revealed to him the mysteries of the faith and entrusted him with preaching of the gospel. So you see, you know, nobody is out of the game. Another theme we see here towards the end of the reading, we see a doxology. So St. Paul, after he, you know, kind of proclaims the good thing and the blessing that Christ did for him, you know, then he says to God, what does he say? To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory to the ages of ages. The last few lines there. So in doing so, he articulates theology, and the theology proclaims the divine attributes, that God is omnipotent, that he is immortal or inalterable, he is invisible and omniscient. And I'm going to go through these very quickly. King of ages, in Greek, basili ton aeonon. So the word aeon, aeonas, or age, or the ages, it can mean indefinite time. It can mean a very long time. It can mean a century. In the Greek word, aeonas, can mean, you know, we say the oikostos aeonas, the 20th century, right? And there are also some ancient Greek philosophical concepts that use the word aeon, But that's not how we're using it here. So if God is the King of ages, he's the ruler of all time, which means forever, but he's also the ruler of time itself. And there are indications in the Bible where it says that the day was made longer. Or, you know, during the crucifixion, it says that the sun was covered by, you know, became night during the day or whatever. So, I mean, God is the King of time, he rules time, and he's the King of all time. Which means that he's omnipotent, means he is all-powerful, almighty, the ruler of all, and has complete and supreme authority. So by saying King of ages, that's what the theology that St. Paul was indicating. The next word in Greek is aphtharto, and it's been translated here as immortal. Now, true, God is immortal, okay, but that's athanatos. The very, very precisely aphtharto, means inalterable. He cannot be, he does not change, okay? Which means he's eternal, never changing. The next one, invisible, reminds us that God is spirit, bodiless. Obviously, we're talking about the Father and the Holy Spirit. Our Lord became a man, so he has a body. And that he's also immaterial in his essence. And then in the final, it says the only God. And that's according to the Revised Standard Version. The Greek actually says mono sopho theo, the only wise God. And the New King James says, God who alone is wise, okay? Not just the only God, but the only truly wise God. Other people are wise, meaning they have knowledge, but they had to study for it. They got it from somewhere, right? God is the source of all wisdom. So that makes him omniscient, which means he knows everything, and he's super perfect. Another liturgical reference, notice at the end, he says, to God be honor and glory to the ages of ages. And don't we hear that in church all the time? For to you are due all honor, glory, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Okay, the fathers didn't make this stuff up. This stuff was in the Bible first, okay? So our church uses the Bible, sings the Bible, praises God using the Bible, teaches us with the Bible. So the takeaway for today, while last week we mentioned God's wrath and punishment on the obstinate and insubordinate, and I hope that wasn't too harsh, but I mean, sometimes it's good. This week, the focus is on God's forbearance, his long-suffering, his mercy, and his salvation. And we also see how the church's theology and worship texts are based on Holy Scripture.